Welcome to the Hungarian Living Podcast. I'm your host, Elizabeth Szabó-Vas. Our goal is to discover, celebrate, and share Hungarian heritage and encourage you to do it too. We'll touch on food, travel, history, music, and language, and share stories from our listeners. We're glad you're here. This is a podcast where we'll encourage you to dig deeper to learn about your Hungarian heritage in a variety of ways. We'll have thought-provoking conversations and share resources. So whether you know a little or a lot about being Hungarian, this is the place to be. Thanks for joining me for another episode of the Hungarian Living Podcast. Today, I'm talking with Andrea Tordai about the coffee house culture in Budapest. So welcome, Andrea. I'm excited about today's topic. I love to either visit a coffee shop when I'm in Budapest and to get some work done. And I also love to meet people and talk about important ideas. So this sounds like a perfect conversation for me. So let's talk a bit about how things used to be in Budapest.
Hello, Liz. I love this topic to talk about the coffee houses, the coffee house culture in Budapest. This coffee house culture was thriving in Budapest already from the end of the 19th century, but between the early 1910s and until the beginning of the 1930s, around 500 or even more coffee houses were scattered around the city. So they served as common meeting places of talented writers, poets, artists, actors. Some of them spent most of the day in their favorite place, writing at their regular tables. Ink and paper were free for them, and they could eat the writer's menu. It was a bread, cheese, and cold cuts assortment at a discount price. So naturally, the poor artists as guests was not a good business for the cafe owners. But beside them, ordinary people also popped in for a cup of coffee. Artists attracted people. They were the spirit of the house. So an old coffee owner explained the situation in a very logical way. He said, the beautiful ladies visit the cafes to meet the young, talented writers. But if there are beautiful ladies in a cafe, it's sure that rich men will come in too. So it's worse to have the poor writers and poets in.
They each attract a different group that will buy the coffee and spend the time there.
So. So coffee houses were a home to a vivid, colorful cultural life. If you had wanted to know the latest news and the gossips in town, you would just have to sit in one of these grand coffee houses. So other reasons that cafes have become very popular is that at the end of the 19th century, many people in Budapest, like also in other big cities in Europe, didn't have comfortable homes, flats. The heating and lighting was expensive. So people preferred to spend their free time in the coffee houses where it was warm, there were friends, company, newspapers. So it was fun to stay there. So, and politicians were also regular guests in the cafes, and people could turn to them with their problems or just listen in their opinion in different issues. So it also happened that the young doctors or lawyers who still having no money for their own clinic or office had consulting hours for clients in the cafes.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. Some people were really coffee house lovers, so they regularly visited one cafe for breakfast, another during lunchtime, and the third one in the evening. So meeting almost the same people in all places. It was also typical that different professions had their own cafes in Budapest. There were places where mostly, for example, butchers, carpenters had met, but it was a very democratic system. Everybody could visit all the cafes. But typically, people visited their favorite cafes where they knew the people and could talk to them, you know, the regular guests. Yeah.
Okay. So they was almost somewhat by profession or by interests.
Oh, yes, exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us an interesting story from that time period?
Oh, yes. Let's see, for example, the legend of Molnár Ferenc with the keys of the New York coffee house. A legend, it was a legend, but this legend has become true for today. So Molnár Ferenc, I don't know if you have heard his name, was a stage director, writer, dramatist, poet, playwright. So for us, Ferenc Molnár may be best remembered for the Paul Street Boys.
Yes, that I have heard of that one.
Yes, for sure. Yeah. The story of two rival gangs of youth in Budapest. So it has been translated into 14 languages and adapted for the stage and film movie. So it has been considered a masterpiece by many people. So back to the story. During the opening ceremony of the famous New York Cafe in 1894, Ferenc Molnár and his friends threw the keys of the coffee house to the Danube, demonstrating their wish that the cafe should never be closed, should be always open. Yeah. we don't know that it is true or not, as Ferenc Molnár was young, still a student at that time, and it was improbably that he was among the invited guests, but still it could happen. So, but it's sure that on the reopening ceremony in 2014, so 120 years later in our times, the leaders, the management of the cafe, threw the keys of the house again to the Danube, wishing the cafe to be open for another 120 years. Yeah. But it's worth also to tell shortly the story of the famous New York coffee house that was elected in 2014 the most beautiful cafe in the world. So the eye-catching, grandiose building located in the Great Boulevard, the Nagy Körút, near to the Blaha Lujza Square. Once it has been the whole of an insurance company. So its story started when Max Aufrich, a Hungarian teacher and later a famous jurist, established the Hungarian network of the New York Insurance Company, and the newly created department needed a hall. So the concept was a grandiose, eclectic style building in the center of the city. Alajos Hausmann, one of the most employed architects of the time, most famous architects of the time. He planned also the Technical University, for example, but many more famous buildings in Budapest and also in the countryside. So he was commissioned to plan the design. A four-story palace with the cafe on the ground floor. So the luxurious New York cafe soon became the center of literary and artistic life. So the favorite meeting place of artists and writers, poets. So this is the story shortly. And the New York Cafe actually was never closed. So during the wars as well. So.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's stood the test of time, for sure. Mm-hmm. And what happened with these coffee houses during the wars and during the socialist times, besides the New York Cafe, obviously? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So unfortunately, most of them were destroyed during the World Wars, unfortunately. And the communist regime didn't do good to them either. So the leaders of the Communist Party considered the cafes as a center of underground organizations. So to put an end to any conspiracy, they closed the most popular coffee houses in Budapest. So, you know, in the cafes, people could read all kind of newspapers, people could discuss all kind of actualities, they talk to each other. So it was dangerous in a dictatorship, you know, to change the opinions and listen to the different stories. So most of the cafes that were not destroyed, you know, during the Second World War, were transformed into self-service restaurants, for example, or post offices, pharmacies, bookshops. So this was the end of the coffee house culture after the war.
And then, so then how has it kind of restarted, or what's it look like today?
So after the turn of the regime in the 1990s, the change of the regime, I mean, some of the cafes, coffee houses were refurbished, reconstructed. Some of them look really amazing today. So it's worth to visit them for a good coffee or taste some delicious cake. In the 1990s, some of them were bought also by international fast food network companies. So these have lost the old spirit, of course. But you know that Budapest is not the same today as it was 100 years ago. So the atmosphere in the cafes is also different. But of course, many cafes, many coffee houses have a new and exciting character that attract many people. Yeah.
Well, I've been to the Gerbeau Cafe, and wow, it is gorgeous inside. And the atmosphere is just so elegant, and the pastries and the coffees are delicious. So that is definitely worth a visit. But I know there's others that I haven't even been to yet. So what are some of the other best or most loved coffee shops or coffee houses today in Budapest?
Yes, there are, of course, many of them, but I will pick up two in the Pest side and two in the Buda side. So the Pest side, the Central Coffee House, located in the Pest downtown, is one of the oldest coffee houses in Budapest, guarding a prominent past but with a progressive mindset. So it offers an inspiring atmosphere, enhanced with ample sunshine flooding through the huge windows that open in summer to the pavement seating area. So it's an ideal location. At the onset of the 20th century, this huge downtown coffee house was a highly frequented hangout for Hungary's literary luminaries and was a regular retreat for the editorial team of the Nyugat newspaper, the most influential literary journal of the day. So most of the famous Hungarian poets, writers, written regularly articles in the Nyugat. Nyugat, it means the West. Many prominent writers are memorialized here with portraits decorating the classic wooden walls in the Central Cafe. So you should visit it definitely. And about what can you get there? So the impressive selection includes fine Hungarian dishes and international ones. It has both standard and new wave coffee assortments. A delicate line of desserts is also offered, with each piece made on the spot at the Central's own subterranean confectionery. Guests can try Hungarian sweets such as Esterházy or Dobos cake or Rákóczi túrós, it's a sweet cottage cheesecake, or the Austrian origin Zacher cake. So colorful French macarons or lime cheesecakes that are more modern in our times. So one of the house specialties is the so-called Central Cakelet, a creamy coffee-infused mousse atop a soft sponge cake. So So the Central also keeps traditions alive. Whenever a customer orders coffee, it is served with a paper placemat featuring a piece, and it's English English translation by a prominent Hungarian writer who was a regular here. So, and on the other side of the placemat, you are encouraged to grab a pen and share your own literary masterpieces.
How fun.
Yeah, it's funny. Yeah. It's a pity that you haven't visited yet. Next time.
Yes, you haven't taken me.
Yeah, I will. Next time. Okay. Or let me introduce you to the so-called Művész Coffee House. So it's located in the András Street. When you enter inside the Művész Coffee House, you feel like teleporting back to the Belle Epoque, stepping into the lounge of an aristocratic Hungarian family. So the interior is decorated in Biedermeier style, enhanced with wooden details, magnificent chandeliers, and elegant tapestry. So the movie is also an old one. So it was opened in 1898, but its history cannot be traced all the way back. However, this cafe used to be a store of the Gerbo family. So due to its location on the ornate showcase on Drashi Street, the cafe was frequented by the artists of the opera house that is located just opposite.
Okay.
So these two cafes are very interesting and will be a good choice on the best side. And let's see what we can visit in the Buddha side. So the Rusfurm coffee house, the oldest coffee house in Budapest, has been operating since 1827 in a Baroque style building in the Kassel district area, only some steps from the famous Matyás church. So the small, cozy place welcomes guests with almost intact interior, delicious cakes and coffee. The pastries were so tasty that even Queen Elizabeth Sisi, the wife of Francis Joseph, sent couriers to get cakes for her breakfast from here.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
But I have been there and they are tasty.
Yeah.
But that Sisi loved it too. That's impressive.
Oh, yeah. And so the owner of the coffee house was imprisoned after the fall of the 1848-49 revolution and war of independence. And it's interesting that one of his cellmates in the prison, Rudolf Linzer, inspired him to make the Linzer biscuits. So two slices of shortcake glued together with apricot jam. I'm sure that you have tasted it already.
Yes, for sure. Yeah, those are good.
Yeah. So, you know that in summer, this coffee house, the roost room, is usually crowded with tourists. We have more chance to get a free table, to get a table in late autumn or in winter time.
Ah.
Yeah. So this was the roost room. And another coffee house is the so-called Hadik coffee house, also in the Buddha side. It's located in the so-called Kristina Város, Kristina town. So in the early 20th century, the Hadik was another haunt for famous Hungarian writers. But it's not as ornate and magnificent as the Central or the New York Cafe over in Pest. So the simple interior, the brown walls, and the particular atmosphere were compared to a rural train station.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, but it was still nice, interesting.
Sure.
So
sure.
The regular guest Frigyes Karinti compared Hadik to a shopping bag, he said. Immortalized in the name of the adjacent Szatyor bar. So next to the coffee house today, there's another bar and it's called Szatyor. It means a shopping bag in Hungarian. So Hadik closed down in the 1940s and was only reopened in 2009. So in 2016, however, the Hadik coffee house was once again revived and minimalist new appearance is now somewhat truer to its original spirit. So the Hadik is now once again an established hangout for local creatives, artists, actors. And it's interesting that the Oscar-winning director, László Nemes, wrote the script for his Oscar-winning Son of Soul here. And yes, and donated two pages of the original work to the coffee house.
Oh, wow.
So it's another style of coffee house in the Buddha side. So quite different than the Rusfurm, but very interesting and it's worth to visit.
You know, there's in New York, there is the Hungarian pastry shop. And it's actually not owned by Hungarians anymore, but they serve a lot of Hungarian pastries. But it is a place where students and writers go, and the tables, you know, it's very busy. And sometimes you're sitting next to somebody that you don't know. Of course, who knows now with the COVID-19 situation, but it used to be extremely crowded, and you would, if you could find a table, they would have to rearrange tables for you. So it sounds like they were bringing that culture
back
from Budapest into this, and it's located near a university. So high traffic, people with computers, writing, reading, you know, so it's the same kind of concept, but it's a very simple place. And I guess if I'm going to do coffee like that, I'll go to Budapest and I'll try out all those coffee shops that I haven't been to yet. For all the times I've been to Budapest, I need to.
Oh, yes, we can do a special coffee shop tour.
In Budapest. I think that's a great idea. So we always try to sample one of the cakes of the year when we are on a tour. And I know that the winning cakes are always announced in time for St. Stephen's Day in August. Can you explain a little about this new tradition? And is the cake of the year found in all the coffee shops, or how can you find the cake of the year?
Mm-hmm. So, yes. So each year on the occasion of the national holiday on the 20th August, on St. Stephen's Day, a competition for the cake of the year is announced by the Hungarian Confectioner Craftsman Corporation at the invitation of the Hungarian government. So, held since 2007, the competition ends with a decision by the professional jury, and the recipe of the winning cake specialty is shared with the general public. So the guild expects participants to come up with innovative and creative ideas while respecting the Hungarian confectionery traditions. So, and the results are presented at the parliament of six finalists. So this year's winner, the cake of Hungary, is the so-called Curiositas, an almond cake layered with milk hazelnut crisp, quince jelly, orange almond mousse coated with dark chocolate mirror glaze. So this is the Curiositas. The other, the sugar-free winner cake, is the so-called Midsummer Night's Dream. So this cake contains no added sugar. So its taste is mainly determined by the cinnamon sour cherry jam, the light sour cherry whipped cream, which is completed by the cream English custard, the crème anglaise in French. So the cake is covered with sugar-free white chocolate and decorated in a rest-like layer with freeze-dried cherries. So,
have you tried either one of those yet?
Unfortunately not. I will try them today, this evening.
Okay. Well, you'll have to give a report.
Oh, yeah, I will. So the cakes are available for public tasting for the first time, always on the 19th of August, in hundreds of confectionaries nationwide, all around the country. So, but in order to protect the quality of the cakes, the recipes will only be made public at the end of the year. Until then, only the members of the association can make them. So,
So there's some strict rules that go with that, but that's to make sure that it's created correctly.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
So I will tell you, I will taste them today and I will tell you about it.
Okay. Well, good. Well, thank you, Andrea, for giving us a peek into the past, as well as some useful information for our next visits to Budapest.
Yes, I am looking forward to our next conversation.
Yes. And as always, check out our show notes at HungarianLiving.com for information we have mentioned in this episode. We would love to know your favorite cafes or coffee houses in Budapest. If you have a recommendation, send us a message at podcast@HungarianLiving.com and we will share it on a future episode. And if you have an idea for a podcast episode, we would love to hear it. Be sure to send us an email with your thoughts. We'll catch you next time. Hungarian Living is a division of Magyar Marketing, the Hungarian store. where you can find meaningful gifts with Hungarian style. Check us out at mudyardmarketing.com. And special thanks to Stephen Cicek and the Animal Cannibals for the show music. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode of Hungarian Living, please subscribe and share this podcast with your favorite Hungarian. Check out our show notes for links to resources mentioned in this episode. If you have a question or comment, email us at podcast@hungarianliving.com. We'll catch you next time.